Welcome back to Fritz and Friends. I'm Cheryl Fritz, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Joining me on the phone now, Charles Ford, Lansing attorney and school board vice president. Lansing school board vice president. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, Cheryl. How about yourself?
I'm very good. Wanted to get in touch with you as we keep going through the process of budget cutting with the Lansing School Board. Boy, there's been a lot going on lately. First, Charles, if you don't mind, a reaction to the press conference given the other day by the mayor, David Hollister, and MSU Board of Trustees Chair Joel Ferguson, basically saying that the Lansing School Board needs to kind of get it together. What was your reaction to that? That announcement?
Well, you know, I was a little disappointed about the press conference as a whole. To say the Lansing School Board has to get it together, I think that's exactly what we've done for the district itself, is to get it together. We've filed the policies and procedures. We're looking at $25 million deficit. We're making some decisions to try to get at that deficit. People are concerned that we've cut some administrative positions and asked for some reductions in salary, but we're asking all employees to do that. We're going to ask the teachers. We're going to ask all the administrators. So why don't we start at the top? And I think we'll be fiscally responsible as school board members doing the types of things that we're doing.
It was interesting. I had board member Nicole Armbruster on the show a few days ago in her reaction as well, and talking about what some of the media, she said, had portrayed as infighting and not getting along with the school board members. She felt that wasn't quite a fair portrayal of what goes on there. She said, we're working really hard together, and she goes, we do get along. What is your take on how the school board is getting along, and are they working together?
Oh, we get along and we're working together. I mean, if you look at the decisions that are being made, except for a couple of times, we might have had a 5-4 decision, but we are getting majority decisions to make decisions that we can move forward with. The only thing that I'm disappointed on is school closure. I think that we had an opportunity to close some schools, some secondary schools at this time, to even save more money. But I think that in the long run, we'll be able to close the gap on this $25 million deficit because we are working together.
And what do you suppose, and I guess, you know, I will ask T.C. when I talk to him as well, Dr. T.C. Wallace, the superintendent, the reason for not closing the schools, from your point of view, it would be yet another great cost-saving measure.
It would be, and at this time, I think the numbers are there. The administration even recommended that we close Otto Middle School, and I thought that was a good decision. We already got two middle schools at the north end of town. We'd have had another middle school in the central area, that's Dwight Rich, and we have a school in the south end, that's Gardner. And I think our numbers would dictate that we could have only three middle schools. And I think that was a good idea. And then also, I had proposed that we close a high school as well. I think the numbers are such that we can consolidate the two high schools at this time, and I think it would just strengthen the district even more. And I think there's a couple other elementary schools that could have been closed because our numbers are going down. And not that they're going down because people think that that Lansing's not a good place to send their kids. The birth rates just are not there.
And what about closing the high school? Is that idea still on the table, or is that out of the question at this point on this budget?
Well, I'm trying to still push for it in this budget, but the longer we wait, the tougher it becomes because you have to do a lot of redistricting as far as where kids go to school and where teachers are going to be located. And I think our window of opportunity was back in April, or late April, right before I left to go on my break. But it still may be a possibility, but that's something I continue to push because I think we have a great opportunity at this time to do that.
And with Dr. Wallace's making the statement that those two schools would not be closed, does that end it for this same time budget time period as well?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like I said, he has said that the two schools could not be closed due to the fact that, you know, we have to do a lot of redistricting and also bus routes, and there's a number of things that we have to do in between now and the next school year. There just may not be enough time to work out those logistics.
And the logistics that have been worked on with Dr. Wallace, and there was an article in the local newspaper a couple of days ago about legal fees. Is that all kind of a distraction, or as you said off the top, we're going through the processes?
That's the processes. I mean, I'm an attorney. $19,000 for what we've asked our legal counsel to do is not a lot of money. I mean, we have a legal counsel that Dr. Wallace is listening to who we pay $100,000 a year to sit there if we need him or not, you know. And so at this point, I just think that it was based on that person's legal determination that Dr. Wallace could do certain things with administrative contracts, so we had to come back and get our own legal opinion, and we spent $19,000. I don't think that that's absorbent at all. I think with Dr. Wallace saying that's over the top, I think over the top is having a staff person that we pay $100,000 to. Because if I had a choice at this point, that legal counsel position would not exist in the Lansing School District.
Is that a possibility, that you would hire legal counsel on an as-needed basis?
That's what we've done in the past. That legal counsel position was just newly hired not too long ago. So if we've worked without one in the past, I think we can continue to do that.
Well, and according to Board President Shirley Rogers, she agreed with you that was an investment that led to the layoff of a couple of administrators with a cost savings of in the $400,000 range.
If not more. I mean, there's other, that's the $400,000 just for the two positions. Also, we're able to get reductions in the salaries of the other five contracts.
One of the issues that came up in a headline recently that I'm sure startled a lot of folks was the talk about issuing layoff notices for up to 325 employees, authorizing the administration to do that. But that can be just a little bit deceiving, because that doesn't necessarily mean all will be laid off. But that, again, is part of the process of what you have to do with your timeline.
The timelines with the union contracts, see, we do this every year, and we get bad press about it every year when we have to send out layoff notices to teachers and administrators, because we don't know with schools of choice how many students are going to show up in September. A lot of times we end up hiring all those teachers and administrators back because the numbers did not reduce as much as we thought they would. And so at this point, that's just part of the union contract. We have to send out notices to let teachers know that there's a possibility that they may be laid off. And then when we get our numbers in September, then we know exactly who we can hire back.
One of the things that kind of surprised me, because I've had several interviews with Mayor Virge Bonero and his not liking at all the idea of emergency financial managers. So when I heard him utter those words in that press conference, it kind of surprised me that might be a possibility if the school board can't get this under control. Do you think you can?
Oh, yes, we can. You know, and what I've been disappointed in somewhat is the administration's ability to come to us with a plan that says this is what we can totally do to solve the $25 million deficit. Now, one of the concerns is that are we going to get any concessions from the teachers and the other unions as far as helping out with the $25 million deficit? I'm thinking we are. And at that point, I think that a total plan has not really been brought to us, I think, in time. I mean, they have put together some things now, but way back in, we knew this was coming way back in December and in January when they're asking us to say, well, what types of things would you like to see done? I think it should work the other way around. I think the administration said, hey, this is what we think that it's going to take to resolve our deficit situation. These are the programs that we feel are a priority to us now. These are the things that we should do as a district to stay solvent. I mean, that's what I would like to have seen back in December and January.
Is it too late for any of that now, or is it now the board? Is it all now laid in the board's lap to take care of?
Well, the board has to approve a budget by June 30th. I think at this point, that's what we're doing. I think, a number of the board members, and if not all, are looking at where can we make some cuts and savings. So now, as individuals, we're saying, okay, this is a program I'd like to pitch to my colleagues and say, hey, why can't we do these types of things? And a lot of people say, hey, that sounds good. So I think board members now are going over, you know, above and beyond. They're working feverishly trying to look at what we can do to save money. I mean, I know Nicole Armbruster said, hey, can we move the sixth graders into elementary school? Because elementary schools do very well. And I said, that's a possibility. I think that's a strong possibility.
So to talk about being creative, huh?
Yeah, I mean, and I was looking at those schools that were in commercial areas that we possibly can not only close the school, but possibly make some money.
Well, so emergency financial manager is not an option for Charles Ford as vice president of the school board.
No, it's not. It's not an option because, we're a home rule state. The home rule state means that the government, the state has given us the power as local officials to make decisions because we're in the best position to know what things work in our area. I would not like to see a person come in who knows nothing about our area, the demographics, the social climate, those types of things, and they start making decisions because they think it's business-wise it's the best thing to do. So I would like to keep that type of control with the local units of government, not with the state final emergency financial manager.
Well, Charles, as always, I appreciate your time and your perspective on the issues. Sounds like there might be some more late meetings and a lot of work to be done. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you very much. Charles Ford, Lansing attorney and Lansing School Board Vice President. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.